C1R. Number 9A.
Now we come to Christianity. So, again, whenever you come to a new side of the holy city, it is good to center our consciousness to that focal point of that side of the city. Here, Christianity. What is Christianity? Is that Christianity is the outcome of the Christ idea of the divine word, or the other way around. The word has always an expression that the Christ idea, and that Christ idea brings forth as a result, as an output, as an effect, Christianity. It is therefore always at the point of the universe, including men. So the moment we talk about Christianity, we are focusing, so to say, on our existence, the world within which we live, the problems that are arising within that world. That's the focal point. And we are naturally driving towards that big aim to see that we live in a world of reality, of divine reality, and not in a fantasy world, in a world of beliefs and illusions and error and sin, disease and death and bodies and people and so on. So here actually we would see that we get to the core of the science of Christianity. And that's perhaps also the reason why these 12 preceding questions, answers, don't cover half of the text of that chapter, but only about a third or so, because she needs much more text in order to explain then Christianity and also science, the science of Christianity. So we center our attention of investigating what is reality. Is reality spiritual? Is reality material? Is reality a reality of things, of people, of experiences? Or what is that reality? This is the great question. So Mrs. Eddy begins to state her concept of reality, but as you have seen here on the layout of the chapter, she begins with the level of Christian science. Contrary to the preceding two sides of the holy city, now she takes up the question at the point of Christian science, and then after three questions, then she considers it from the point of view of absolute Christian science. Also, another change can be seen here, namely that she presents now Christianity in a reversed order. She picks up Christianity as Christianity, but then doesn't go to Christianity as the Word and then the Christ, as she would have done if they had the same rhythm as in the Word and the Christ, that it was always going forward. Can you see that? That if she would lay it out the same way as in the Christ, she would have to pick it up, Christianity, as its own aspect, Christianity as Christianity, which she does, but then she would have to go to Christianity as the Word, because we leave out signs, as the Word, and then Christ. She doesn't do that. She shows now the inverted order, namely going back from Christianity to the Christ, to the Word. It's now what John Dolly called the inverted sequence of Christianity. Now, there is some history about this insight, which I can't take the time to explain it too much in detail. That is left to the syllabus classes and things like that. But I just want to give you some reasoning for doing that. When Mr. Dolly was studying those orders, the Word Order, the Christ Order, Christianity Order, Science Order, he could see, by especially when he studied the platform, but also other writings, that very often the text, even in the Bible sometimes, would talk about the Christianity order, but in an inverted way. Instead of running from principle, mind, soul, spirit, to life, truth, and love, that it would present itself the other way around, starting with life, truth, and love, flowing backward to spirit, then to soul, then to mind, then to principle. For instance, he saw that in the Gospels, you know, that Matthew is laid out in the word order, then Mark is laid out in the Christ order. But when it came to Luke, which gives the Christianity sense, then Luke doesn't present the subject really in the Christianity order, but in the inverted Christianity order. He starts out with life, truth, and love, about the whole concept of the family law there, and then goes backward through the order back to principle, and ends up with principle. And other texts are built that way too, and he was not really happy about this. He could see the text reads that way, and he couldn't quite see why it would read that way, until finally he was seeing that really Mrs. Eddy shows that many teaching can be understood by reversal. And what he began to see that by what is meant by reversal is that especially when you are in Christianity, that Christianity can either be looked at from the point of view of statement leading to proof. That's Christianity, where you prove your statement, so that the statement must be proved, and actually must be proved through life, truth, and love. So that the statement, principle, mind, soul, spirit, must be proved as life, truth, and love in practice. But one also sees very often that you have a proof and you wonder what statement lies behind it. Let me put it perhaps another way. In the textbook we learn that we first must have understanding before we can prove something. So that understanding precedes proof. That's the Christianity order. But we also learn that sometimes we see a proof and don't know the underlying understanding, where it comes from, and so through the proof we are led to discover the statement on that proof. For instance, Mrs. Eddy shows that the students or the disciples of Jesus, when they saw really the highest proof that Jesus gave, that then they began to understand his teaching. So that proof was leading back to statement. That's the reversed order. Now here we have the same thing, namely that she wants to show first the proof of Christianity in Christian Science, and then lead that proof back to its statement, that Christianity as Christianity is led back to Christianity as the Christ, and then to Christianity as the Word. So that's the reason for the inverted order. Now, no matter if we see that or understand that, that doesn't really amount to very much at the beginning. The main thing is that we can read the textbook here and that we can get something out of those questions and answers. So, first, Mrs. Eddy presents here that the whole sense of Christianity from the standpoint of Christian Science, and the overall epitome here is the unreality of sinful corporeal humanity. Whereas then when she takes the standpoint of absolute Christian Science in the further three questions, she will show that reality is spiritual. Can you see the difference between Christian Science and absolute Christian Science? Christian Science has to do with erroneous humanity and really declare if that erroneous humanity, sinful humanity, sick humanity, if that sick humanity is actually the true creation, if that is our reality, or if it is an unreality. Whereas from an absolute standpoint, we just see that reality is purely spirit and has nothing to do with corporeal sinful humanity. Is that clear, the level? All right, now, why is that Christianity? Actually, before I should have read that, I should have said, can we compute ourselves now what Mrs. Eddy would have to present here in these questions? And so let us reason out as if we would not know what Mrs. Eddy is going to tell us, and reason out what is the place value of Christianity per se. We would say, well, we said it's the world, it's the universe, including man, as those two big elements of Christianity. We take the whole universe, the material world, the whole universe, we take as very important man in it. We feel that's the most important thing in that universe. And so we would have some kind of a description of this material universe. The material universe, or the material humanity, sinful humanity, sick humanity, corporeal humanity, you would have to take all that and consider what have they to do within a divine system of reference. Wouldn't that be logical? See, just as in the Word we would have said we must know something about God and only about God, then in the Christ we must know something how that God expresses itself so that it can come to us. Now, at Christianity we are that us, and we ask now, what is that us? That material living, that corporeal humanity. So here we would have to show that and see at the point now of Christianity, is that now real or is that unreal? Is that erroneous or is that truth? Wouldn't that be logical in reasoning? All right. You don't quite smile, but I think you know what I mean. Huh? Within that universe, really, the most important point would be that it seems that the universe is suffering under three main errors, namely sin, disease, and death. Sin leading to disease, disease leading to death. So that those three are constantly discussed here. You remember that up to this point, the text hardly was touching on this question, perhaps sometimes a little bit on sin, but not really on sickness, very little about death, of what constitutes really material, corporeal, sinful, sick humanity, dying humanity, that has never been touched upon up to this point. So we come to that sense, which we just read as the overall epitome, the unreality of sinful, corporeal humanity. The first question that we have here is the question, is there no sin? The question seems to be rather restricted, because it's just the question, is there no sin? But even asking about sickness or about death or anything like that. But actually, when we read the text, it is asking really, is there no sin, sickness, or death? Why do I have the authority to say such a thing? It's very easy, because the answer to that question is rather longish, namely, oh yes, nearly three pages, and within these three pages, she only once uses the term sin alone and says something about sin, and not really something very important. She does not even define sin here, so she asks, is there no sin? She doesn't define it, but she uses the term sin many, many times, seven times, in conjunction with sin, disease, and death. So you can see that the subject really is sin, disease, and death, as if she would ask, is there no sin, disease, and death? Naturally, as I showed, she can reduce that question just to, is there no sin? Because we know her teaching says, sin brings forth disease, and disease brings forth death. So we may be helped, I would say, by seeing that it has to do with that whole question of rotten humanity, that humanity which we want to get rid of, which we want to be freed from. So she shows here that, and this is the epitome, that sin, sickness, and death are proved to be unreal. You see, why is it Christianity as Christianity? We always must see that. The focal point of Christianity is the universe, here the sinful universe, and from the aspect of Christianity, it must be proved, demonstrated, to be unreal. Because Christianity is that where you demonstrate or prove your statements. So, Christianity, as Christianity says, can we prove, Christianity, that the wrong sense of Christianity, sinful humanity, is unreal? Yes? Does that make sense? It's a demonstration, Christianity, the demonstration that a wrong Christianity is unreal. You can put it that way. Yeah. Now, in reading an answer like this, which goes over page and page, we naturally have to be aware of the flow of the reasoning, the subject that she's taking up, and you have to have some kind of an overall view. Now, what is that overall view when you have a longer text? And here we see that she starts right in with the first sentence, that all reality is in God and His creation, harmonious and eternal. Well, if, that's an if we would have read this chapter from the beginning up to this point and would come to this statement, suddenly all reality is in God and His creation, we would certainly felt at once, hi, here is a terrific break in the trend of thought. Up to now, she has never really talked about the nature of reality. And we will feel, here is a big break. Suddenly now, the focus shifts away from God to the output, to the outcome of God, to that which is real, which is harmonious and eternal. You see, it's no more talking about the reality of God and the unreality of gods or souls. It's now talking about the reality of God and His creation. And His creation naturally is at the focal point of Christianity. We consider and contemplate now creation. And you would feel at once here there is a terrific break. Then, reading on, you will find that after that statement, that she begins right away to show that a sick, sinful humanity is unreal. The marginal heading there is right at the beginning, unrealities that seem real. And it's really the big first proposition that every student really approaches when he contemplates creation and says, is that creation which I see with my eyes, is that God's creation? Is that the real creation? Or is it just a fantasy? Is it unreal? Is it just a seeming reality or not? And you hear at once the tone of Christian Science, explaining now the unreality of a seeming, material, sick, sinful creation. I say that for a purpose of text interpretation and method. You see, the very first sentence here, all reality is in God and His creation, harmonious and eternal, is an absolute statement. It would belong really to absolute Christian Science. And if we just read the very first sentence, we feel, oh yes, here again, she takes up Christianity from the absolute standpoint. But the moment you go further, you see that everything then is on the level of Christian Science. Now, I show this here with one example. You see, let's read on there after that first sentence. That which He creates is good, and He makes all that is made. Still an absolute sense, an absolute Christian Science. Therefore, the only reality of sin, and you hear at once, now she tackles the level of Christian Science. She wants to explain, is there a reality of sin, sickness, or death? It's the awful fact that unrealities seem real to whom? To human erring belief until God strips off their disguise. Can you see that she starts out with an absolute statement. Now, don't let yourself be sidetracked in the text interpretation just because here and there an absolute statement is made, but watch the general level on which the text keeps itself. Because we must remember, in the introductory paragraph to the chapter, Mrs. Eddy says that absolute Christian Science pervades its statement. Therefore, she is not always using just one level of science in the answer to the question. Very often, when she is dealing with the level of Christian Science, she first has to take the authority from an absolute level, so that it makes sense what she then says on the level of Christian Science. And so also in the reversed way, very often, therefore, when she states something on the level of absolute Christian Science and the whole tonality is on absolute Christian Science, here and there she brings in some statements of Christian Science in order to make it more practical to the reader, more warm to the reader, nearer to the reader. So don't go back home and study those 24 questions and answers and then suddenly find, but here, where it should be on the level of Christian Science, I find various statements that really belong to the level of absolute Christian Science. That does not disprove, really, the main tonality. We must be very warm and flexible in our consciousness and see really that these levels are not in watertight compartments, that they don't blend. They actually blend because they are all one. They are only four aspects of the one science. And therefore they can never really be separated through a strict line, especially not in a text like the textbook, where Mrs. Eddy uses all the categories of being as a symphony, therefore where all the categories always flow within each other and are used constantly in blending, and therefore here too with the levels, just as with the synonymous terms, we have those blendings. The main point is that we listen really to the main message of that chapter, and that's what I show you here. It starts out from a very absolute standpoint. All reality really is God and His creation, and that is harmonious and eternal. But then she goes on and shows that the very opposite is therefore unreal. She goes on and shows that Jesus proved then that this very opposite is unreal, and you hear at once that this is absolute Christian Science, because the moment we prove the counterfeit to be unreal, it's on the level of Christian Science.